Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We are talking about continuing our conversation on Neil Postman's book, Technopoly, the surrender of culture to technology. And it's amazing. The first thing we were talking about yesterday's program was how America has a new religion, he talks about. You have to understand now, this guy was, he's 35-plus year professor at New York University, a private university, but this is in 1992. I mean, as we said, Al Gore just invented the internet, according to him. And this is before we had multiple internets, when George W. said we have internets, which is a minor. I mean, think about that. How many times have we, we make humorous clips of these tournaments.
Tournaments.
Wrestling.
Yes. And I've been trying to practice the other day.
Did you?
Wrestling. My chin's got to go out to say it right. And so
it's called denunciation. Oh, that wasn't funny?
That's a what?
Tournament about this? You know, the tournaments who can
spell
enunciate?
That?
The, this is like the telephone. Hey, I'm going to talk to you. Can you move the phone somewhere around the vicinity of your mouth?
Your mouth?
Hey, I want to talk to you. John.
Hey, can you leave
John.
It alone? Okay. All right, okay. Let me adjust it now. Wrestling. What else do you want to talk about? Statistics? Lightning? Let me get the mic ready here. What do you want to talk about?
You're tearing up the set, bro. Okay. Hold on. Chill out.
All right. So Neil Postman is in his book Technopoly, the surrender of culture to technology. He talks about, and we talked about it yesterday, and we heard him talk. And this is, you can hear the whole interview by going to a VFN TV and click on the torch, the VFN torch, and see. But it talks about how America has a new religion, and you can hear him talking about this. But the new religion, it's technology. I mean, you think about religion, and people say that's not true. But the truth is, whatever you make your God is your God, mm-hmm. not who you say your God is, but whoever you make your God. And just because we're not making them out of, carved wood and stone and that type of thing does not mean that we can't formulate other gods in our hearts and idols. And know you not, you're the temple of God, which means that you can have an idol in your heart. And God will judge a nation based on its idolatry. He will actually have a judgment of withdrawal because of a nation refusing to deal with this idolatry. And so, in 1992, he's writing this book, and it's just so stimulating just to hear his interview. You got to hear his whole interview. And he said, America has a new religion. It's technology. And then we talked about how we have to realize, and he's talking about, and we talked about as well, is that you have to understand that technology not only giveth, but it also taketh away. This is what, we're always guilty of saying things like, do you know what this thing does? Mm. Do you know what this thing does? Do you understand if you get one of these, it'll do that for you? If you get this, it'll do that. But we never talk about, and this is what he was saying was in this conversation, it's not necessarily the technology is bad, but now that we've learned and seen that technology giveth and it taketh away, then we need to realize it also taketh away. We need to realize, ask ourselves the question before we inject this new technology into our lives, what will it take away and how can we prevent that from taking that away? For example, technology today has taken away personal intimate relationship. Well, yeah, you can communicate with a lot of folks, but you were closer to folks when you didn't talk to them all the time. Mm. Yeah. I don't want to know what you're having. I don't want you to know what you're having for breakfast. Let's see each other every now and then.
Right.
Let's take a pause and let me spend time with God and live my life. And then we see each other again. It's like, hey, it's been a long time since I've seen you. It's like, we can never get away from each other because we replace intimacy with that concept, but that's not. So it took away intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have families who are in their own households that spend all their time in their different little pods in their home, they call them rooms or whatever, that are watching media and texting back and forth and emailing back and forth. They never see each other. The shooter in Sandy Hook, the last communication that his mother had with him, because he was locked in his room, was a technology communication where he emailed her.
Wow.
You know, I'll be coming through the door. We can rebuild this. Right, I want to talk to you.
Right, exactly.
I want to talk to you. And so, and that would probably prevent some of that. But then the third aspect of what we talked about yesterday and what we heard was faith and belief in technology systems is replacing faith and belief in God. And saying things is that we believe now we can actually have enough technology to reach the heavens, which was the original argument. But first, let's hear right now how technology is ecological. It just affects our life, our day-to-day life, and we'll come back. Listen up. Neil Postman.
You made a point early in the book about how Martin Luther got started with the ability to proselytize or to sell his point of view through the printed word.
Yes, well, Luther, of course, was absolutely prescient on the impact of the printing press, although in a letter he wrote to the Pope after he had posted his theses on the church door, he I think feigned surprise that his message, his complaints against the church had been translated into vernacular languages and spread so quickly all over Europe through the printing press. He thought as he said in his letter, he had written these objections in academic language, and he didn't think ordinary people would have access to it. But he did know the power of the printing press. He understood it better than almost anyone of his time, and was not reluctant to credit the printing press with the advancement of his ideas and of the Reformation. So I like to write about Luther just from that point of view, because he understood, say, better than people like Copernicus and later, of course, Galileo, what the printing press would mean. Although Galileo was, I shouldn't underestimate him, because he was also one who made use of the printing press. He had one available to him for propaganda purposes, in particular spreading the idea that he had invented the telescope, which in fact he had not done. But the reason I brought up these matters in the book about Luther and some of the others was to show how new technologies transform everything about a culture. I mean, there's a tendency of people to think that new technology is additive, and I think it's new technologies are ecological. And what I mean is that if you put the printing press into Europe in the mid-15th century, you don't have, 50 years later, Europe plus the printing press. You have a new Europe, because everything gets changed, the political system, the religious system, and so on. If you put television into America in 1946, by 1960, you don't have America just plus television, but a new kind of America, so that our social relations are altered and our attitudes toward childhood are altered and our political system is altered, and we get new meanings of old words and so on. So that's not something that's new in culture. That's why I discussed Luther in the book, that this happens whenever you get new technologies. But the difference now is that when Luther lived, the printing press was changing Europe. He understood that. But then Western culture had about 300 years to adapt itself to the printing press. So we developed new forms of economic life, new political ideas, new notions about education, all organized around the printing press. But in our own time, our situation is much more difficult to cope with, because almost daily, it seems, new technologies come on the scene, and our social institutions don't have time to assimilate them and reorganize themselves to accommodate the demands of the technology. As soon as you start to do that, some new technology comes to make that one obsolete. So everyone is in quite a state of confusion. But the reason I call America the first technopoly is that more than any other culture that I can think of, we have committed ourselves to technology. Our destiny now is tied up with technology.
It's amazing how prophetic this was in 1992 when Neil Postman writes this, and you got to hear the whole interview on the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com. But know that what he's talking about here, we have to understand it because this was in 1992. Now, and this is what he said before, you know, when new technology comes to the scene, people are talking about, you know, what you can do, for what it can do for you and all these different things. And it takes a while to be able to integrate that and think about it and what we're going to do with it. But he said, before you get a chance to do that, the next technology comes out. Well, this is 1992 he's talking about. And now we're having technology breakthrough every day. And so there, as a Christian, as believers, that we have to understand that technology is not a religion. Hmm. It is something that submits to God for us, that we can do with it, or we can do without it. If it uses us, we have to do without it. If we can use it, then we can use it. It all depends. Everything's always subjective. Some people can have money. Some people can't have money. Some people can have technology. Some people can't have technology. And we're going to continue this conversation because it's so important understanding in our next program. Don't forget we have four programs back to back, and we're going to continue this because we have to understand when new technology comes and it's coming at a rapid rate to the point now they're talking about thousands and thousands of drones flying over America's air. They're trying to release the new laws coming in 2014, 2015, something of that nature, 16, that even Amazon.com talking about delivering through technology in 30 minutes or less, whatever you order. We have to understand, what does that mean to us as Christians? How do we respond to that? There's something so interesting hearing about technopoly, like the game Monopoly, and how technology, you merge those two words that Neil Postman did in his book, a professor at the NYU, New York University. And this guy was prophetic. He was prophetic about where we are today. And it's amazing. I just love that because, so if you look back on who was given dreams and who prophesied, because so many people think because they had a dream that they know Jesus. They think because they prophesied they know Jesus. Like, do you see? I'm not saying that Neil Postman, I'm just saying, the God can speak through a donkey, but the donkey wasn't saved. Right. I'm just saying, listen, you can hear what God is saying when you hear the mouths of mankind. Mm-hmm. And sometimes your children can prophesy to you. Even we're hearing right around us, we're hearing God speak clearly to the point of tears, showing them what he's been showing us. And there's nothing better than hearing a child's perspective because it's just, this is how it is. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. But we're going to continue that talk because what he talks about in his book, Technopoly, I don't have up the full title of the book in front of me there, but is how that when you add technology, you know, technology giveth and it also taketh away. And it's Technopoly, the surrender of culture to technology. But you can find out more about it on The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com.
It's an interesting statement because many people don't think about, and oftentimes I've never thought about, what technology takes away. You're always thinking about the benefits of what's going to add to your life. But there is significant loss when you incorporate it.
Yeah, and one of the biggest things that he talks about, and we're also going to talk about authority. And he bears the sword for nothing. Hopefully we'll be able to talk about that in this particular program, if not in the next. But the biggest, we're not going to have a chance to talk about, part of the interview will be in the future, probably tomorrow's program. But this is on C-SPAN, so they're interviewing him, and they asked him the question, you know, of all the students that come up to you, and he had like at that time 50,000 in print, mostly students in universities were reading it, understanding technology at that time. And he said, I really believe they're the ones that need to have it because this is going to be their generation. He was right.
Wow.
This is 20 some odd years later. And then he did to understand it. And he said, what is the one question that asks you the most about? And he talks about social science, that the technology is not a science, but they say it is. And it's not an exact, it's not a, you can't measure things. But look at today, we have things like eHarmony. This is what he's talking about. He said, people really believe in technology can actually match them with folks. This is 1992.
Wow.
That if this is what it says, then it's accurate. But it's not, there is no exactness to how it affects the culture. It's more ecological. When you think ecological, you can think about pollution's ecological. Or you can think about that plant life's ecological. It just grows and you watch what happens to it. You can't say it's going to be just like this because technology giveth and it also taketh away. Well, we're going to just go into this conversation because we want to use all of our time, that even the Gutenberg printing press, we talk quite often about that was because, you know, that came at the perfect timing. I mean, God allowed it to happen at the perfect timing. That was technology at the time. And Martin Luther's thesis, I mean, you think about it, imagine this. Okay, let's give you a perspective here. There's no such thing as Facebook. Let's just imagine that, you know, I don't know, an hour ago. And so Martin Luther writes down his thesis, which, you know, you're saved by grace and not by works. And he goes and he takes it and he writes it out with an old pen and he takes a thumbtack and he goes and sticks it on the head of the church's door, right? Mm-hmm. And he walks away unaware of Facebook because it doesn't exist yet. He don't think it does. Mm-hmm. And somebody else sees that and they go, this is profound. Mm-hmm. And they take out, and he didn't know it, they take out their iPhone, they snap a shot of it, they post it on their Facebook, and next thing you know, 1 billion people have seen his thesis. Well, that's what happened to Martin Luther. That's what he's talking about, that he didn't understand that this technology, the Gutenberg printing press, was going to take his thesis and spread it around the world. But God did. Mm-hmm. And so it gave the revelation of what we're walking out today, and we thank God for that. But also, he talks about Aristotle and others begin to use it for propaganda and just printing a whole bunch of junk out, you know.
Their own hype.
Right. And so quite often, you know, as Christians, sometimes we can be guilty of saying, well, the Gutenberg printing press is evil. It's like, no, what they did with it, the thing was evil. Somebody says, well, guns are evil. No, people who use guns for evil intent, they're evil. But if you call for help, it's going to be a police officer showing up with a gun on his or her side. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. And you don't see that gun as evil because that person is not supposed to be evil. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be good. And so technology giveth and it taketh away. And when he talked about, and you heard the interview in the earlier program, he said that, you know, in 1946, when television, I know this is a shocker to you kids, when television was brought to America, when it was brought into America, in 1960, you don't say, hey, all of a sudden now we have America and television, but we had a new America. And you think about that. But look what happened from the 40s to the 50s to the 60s to legalizing abortion to the breakdown of the marriage. And that totally just transformed our culture. Mm-hmm. You know, Billie Jean King and all the tennis matches and things that were going on at that time and marching in the streets. And that was media. You had, I mean, TV just came out with the McCarthy hearings and all the things going on. And so you don't have, you don't add television to America in 1946 and then in 1960 have America and television. You actually have a new America. So it giveth the TV, television, but then it transforms culture. It's ecological. We don't really know what's going to happen, but we know for a fact that's what happened. Mm-hmm. And so that's important because as the church, we have to understand that we cannot, if you make technology your God, if that's your religion, and many, many people who proclaim to have a faith in God have more faith in technology, because he talks about in earlier interviews that we had yesterday was that this is what folks are saying. Now they're saying that we have enough technology to reach the heavens now. Mm-hmm. And that's before he didn't know about GPS. He didn't know about all those different things, but understand this. This is what I wanted to get to, is that the church, which is the body of Christ, the church plus technology still has to equal the church. For example, when Jesus was introduced to mankind, we had salvation. Mm-hmm. And when he went to go be with the Father, we had the birth of the church in Acts, right? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was introduced to the church. Bam! Church was birthed. Now, the Gutenberg printing press was, you know, invented. So now the church had the thesis of we're saved by grace, but we also had the Bibles, and we talked about that before. America, how we got here and how we stay here, you need to hear that. And it's probably a related link to this article. But know this, that we still, even with the Gutenberg printing press, we still had to be the church. We could not be a new church. We had to be the church. So we still had to be, in 10 years, we still had to be the church and the Gutenberg printing press.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with television, television's introduced to the church. You know, Rex Humbarg and Oral Roberts and all those crew that was around that time, and they're ministering, and people thought, I can't believe that you're going on television.
Mm.
And the question was not should you be on, you know, Franklin Graham, Billy Graham, you know, not should you be. The question is, when television is introduced to the church, in 10 years, are we still the church? Because
mm-hmm.
we still have to be the church. And so here we are today with computers being introduced to, in regards to the church, we have mobile technology, we have, you know, all this methodologies to do what we do. But the question is, are we still the church?
Mm-hmm.
Or did all of a sudden at some point did the Gutenberg printing press become our God? Because we found out when you begin to communicate to masses amount of people, you can actually, hey, there's power in this printing press. So much so it's part of our Constitution and the First Amendment that the only way you can have America if the press actually stays free and stays unentangled with the government, which we're seeing them entangled now, but stays unentangled, because then the power of the printing press keeps Washington, D.C. honest.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's power in the printing press. So what do you do? And today we're finding out it's being used for the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden you find out that there's power in that. Do you worship that or do you still worship God? So the question is, when you have the church plus technology, when technology now has been introduced to the church, do we in 10 years, in 20 years, are we the church plus technology? Are we a new church? Are we a new church? Have all of a sudden now has technology become our God? This is what Paul was writing to the church of Rome. He said, listen, do not be conformed to the technology of this world.
Mm.
Do not be conformed to the patterns of this culture. It's ecological. Culture is ecological thing. It just happens. Do not be transformed. Do not be conformed to the patterns of these cultures, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and know what God's will is, good and pleasing will. Understand this. It's very important how you see technology. It's very important how do you depend on technology for your life, or do you use it to accentuate your existing life? Therefore, you can have life outside of technology. You can have relationships outside of technology. Because what happened with technology when it was introduced to marriage and to family, intimacy was lost. It was lost.
Hmm.
When it was introduced to the workplace, now intimacy in the workplace is lost. When it was introduced to so many different venues now, it's pretty much what he says, and you'll find out more about it if you listen to the whole interview. He says, society's going to get to the point. This is a 1992 prophetic word that he's wrote in his book. It's going to get to the point where most people will not even have to leave their homes, because they'll be able to work from their homes. They'll be able to see everything in their homes. They'll be able to function in their homes. But the one thing they're going to miss is each other. And this is what Jesus said. He said, the only way that you can really know if you know me is how you relate to the people. Do you love them? Do you love them?
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
A new commandment I give you, love each other.
Right.
You're going to have to be in relationships with human beings. You're going to have to know them. And you'd be surprised. It's not as easy to like a human being when it's not just a button to click. You have to die to yourself. But that's what God calls a sweet sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he said, whatever you didn't do to the least of these of mine, you didn't do to me. And whatever you did do to these of mine, you did to me. And so it's about how we relate to people. He said, a new commandment I give you, a new commandment to love each other. Well, you cannot connect with folk if you're not actually connected with folk. I mean, you don't even know if you love each other yet. Just because eHarmony said ding ding ding, match match match, winner 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 winner. I mean, you're still chicken dinner. You hope, right? Yeah, click on order here. That having a true relationship with people. And we're getting further and further away. Society, the culture is getting further and further away. But understand this, the church has not ever supposed to have been further away from Jesus Christ. We're still supposed to be the church that God's called us to be. The Word of God, we got to start picking it up again and reading what God's Word says about us and what God expects from us and hearing His voice and abiding with Him, with just Him, our Bibles, a pen, and a piece of paper, and we finish that, we need to abide with each other, loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say, you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFNTV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFNTV and the daily radio program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN radio. And become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country in that order and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsors and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.